Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I am your host, Roski Mascani. Tonight's panel is Professor Amin Ra, historian Joe Hembrick, Sister Linda Shorter, and our guest is Mosiah, Brother Mosiah. We're doing part two of Who's Pulling the Strings. Mosiah was on 5 months ago, and he's back to continue the conversation. Welcome back, Brother Mosiah. Let's get started.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right. So I guess I'll just start this off with Noah Yuval Harari. I believe that's his name. The video will show it. I'm going to share my screen. Okay, here we go. All right.
I just so happened to be driving over here in Hyde Park and I passed.
About that.
Lead advisor to the World Economic Forum, Yuval Noah Harari, says human beings are hackable animals, and the idea that we have this soul and free will, that's over.
Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's all.
So they took a lot of the original clips down where I wanted to show you guys. Hold on, let me get back to where I'm trying to go. There we go. All right. So, they took a lot of the clips down where, like, they had the official, like, the whole interview with him, you know, explaining that stuff. But the World Economic Forum, I believe, if I'm correct, is like a sister organization to the United Nations. And the World Economic Forum, their motto at one point was, "You will own nothing and be happy." And they have something called Agenda 2030. They have agendas by different years, but they have Agenda 2030, and that's where they want the world at by 2030. And you guys might have seen it, but I've even started to see commercials with them promoting this, which is like, wow, it's showing the progression of what they want to happen. And this was the ESG, Environmental Social Governance Score, I believe. But ESG rating is what all businesses, like public businesses, they'll have to have a good ESG rating. If not, then it's like a social credit score pretty much. But this is what they're trying to implement. So business and, you know, many things that, as we know, it may look very different soon. And only, you know, you can't exact, not that we can't resist against it, but if it's destined to happen, we'll have to, the people who are abreast on the information regarding what's going on will best navigate through it, in my opinion. But if you guys had anything to share about like what you heard, or I can even share the clip again if you would like to see it again, but what would you guys' opinion of Noah Yuval Harari be, being that he said what he said?
Well, can you please show it again so I can get a better understanding?
Got you. Here we go.
Advisor to the World Economic Forum, Yuval Noah Harari, says human beings are hackable animals, and the idea that we have this soul and free will, that's over.
Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's all.
Very interesting. I mean, I know I'm the one being interviewed or sharing what my perspective is, but that's somebody that's problematic for people like us who enjoy our freedom, because he's in a high position. He's a right-hand man to Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab, I wouldn't want to. I know he's like he's the head of like one of the heads of the Economic Forum. Of course, there's people behind the World Economic Forum that are funding the World Economic Forum. But as far as like the public face of the World Economic Forum, that's Klaus Schwab, and that's Noah Yuval Harari, which is a guy I just showed you guys. So these people are, they're trying to, just like the World Health Organization, the WHO, they're pretty much trying to impose a global pandemic treaty on the United Nations, which will allow the World Health Organization to have the sole power to declare when a pandemic is and what constitutes a pandemic. So pretty much that means that if it's under their organ, if it's under their, if they have the jurisdiction to do that, that's like it completes some of the plan of globalization, which is the destruction of national borders and every, the one world government type of thing. So the global pandemic treaty that shut down the, during the pandemic when we experienced it, that shut down a lot of things globally and everyone was on lockdown. So it's, they'll have the power to put us on lockdown or let us off lockdown if whenever they want, essentially. But my, I was going off about the World Health Organization, but they're like a sister organization to the United Nations as well. They're all branches off like the United Nations, I believe. And the World Economic Forum, Noah Yuval Harari is stating what they want us, what they want. So, it's very interesting to me. This kind of leads me to another point. So this is someone in a high place, Noah Yuval Harari, and he's associated with people in very high places, maybe the one percenters for sure. And some people say that, oh, Bill Gates is the most powerful man. He's gonna be the one to control. They think Bill Gates is just the guy who's at the top, which he's around the guys who are at the top, and he's contributing to Babylonian activities as far as oppressing us. And but he's not high up like that. It's like I said, it's the people like Klaus Schwab, Jeffrey Epstein. I'm sure you guys are probably familiar with Jeffrey Epstein, but Jeffrey Epstein is the largest or the biggest known sex offender we know in publicly. And he, Epstein Island, with all the where all the top leaders of corporations went to go, indulge in sex trafficking and underage act, activities with sexual activities with underage girls took place on Epstein Island. Jeffrey Epstein was, of course, that was his island. And he had many other, like, he was running this like global thing, very interesting. But he was in high positions of power hanging with people at the top as well. So it's like, all right, well, the people at the top who claim that they want the best for everyone globally, well, what are you doing hanging around someone like Jeffrey Epstein, knowing, the crimes against humanity he's committing, privately? And he was a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, but he lived, one of his houses where it was in West Palm Beach, and West Palm Beach, Florida. And he pretty much bought off like the West Palm Beach Police Department, and like they, he was like, he was having sex with local high school girls on like across a bridge, because West, the part of West Palm Beach he lived in, I guess, I could be slightly wrong about this, but his, there was like a bridge that had to cross from where the rich people lived, across like some water in Florida. And there was, on the other side of that bridge was like where the average person lived and some of the impoverished people lived. But anyways, he, the high school was across the bridge, and he would like have taxis pick up and drop off some of these, girls after school to his house. And him and his girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell at the time, they were initiating these types of actions. And it wasn't only through taxi, but some of them would walk after school. And I believe some of them were, they were ditching school to, please Jeffrey Epstein. But he was paying them like $200 each visit. So these people need, these girls, grew up in impoverished areas, and at that point in time, they, $200 seemed good to them. So he took advantage of a lot of them, and they accepted that $200 bribe, if you will. And he pretty much, next thing you know, like, you might as well say the whole town with all the underage females have seen Jeffrey Epstein from that side. So that's Jeffrey Epstein. That's one person who's at the top pulling the strings.
Brother Messiah,
Yes, sir.
let me ask. Linda's in Florida. Linda, did you hear anything about that?
No, this is my first time hearing that, and I'm familiar with West Palm Beach, but no, I've never heard any of this.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay.
There's a whole documentary about him on Netflix as well, about some of the nasty things he's done. And people like Bill Gates, Bill Clinton, they were all associates with him. And it was funny because there's this clip of someone asking Bill Gates, like, on an interview. He was like, what were your I believe he was like, what he was the interviewer was asking Bill Gates. He was like, what was your relation to Jeffrey Epstein? I think that's what the question he asked him, or something along those lines. And he said, he didn't answer the question. He pretty much went and dodged it, went around it. But he was like, well, he started laughing and smirking a little bit. But he was like, well, Jeffrey Epstein's dead. And that's all he said. And Jeffrey Epstein, they say he's dead. And I mean, that's what the mainstream media has published. And they've shown, in my opinion, false, fake pictures, like, not fake pictures, but they say he hanged himself in prison when he finally got, charged for what he did. For the longest, he had so many police departments and agencies paid off that they knew what he was doing, but he was paying them off, so they weren't really. He was like, oh well, I own the police department, so I could do anything I want to you. What was my point? But there's so many things I want to mention. But Jeffrey Epstein, he's a very interesting person to look into, because some of the high positions in power, some of the high positions of power some of his associates occupy were people who were part of the Israeli government, part of the Mossad, which is like the just like a you guys are familiar, probably familiar with the Mossad, but it's I believe it's similar to the CIA, but for Israel. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the media about Israel right now. And this is like it some of what's going on is kind of shedding light on on the wrong of what Israel is doing, and shedding the light to the world, what Israel's crimes against humanity has been, to specifically in this case towards the Palestinians. But these Zionists, in this a lot of this case, are they're they've done a lot of these things globally, not specifically what they're doing to the Palestinians, but as far as this control they exercise and all of the American industries, it's not just in Israel and what they're doing. They're doing it here in America. There's a congresswoman named Cynthia McKinney, black woman. She was part of the Democratic Party. She got, I believe she got, like, pretty much she had she was kind of like blackballed in within Congress. So she kind of just left that position she was in. But she started speaking out against, oh no, some of the people who wanted to put her in office were fund who were funding her were part of AIPAC, which is I believe American Israeli Political Action Committee. But they were part of AIPAC and they were funding her. They were like, all right, cool, we'll give you this campaign money, but pledge allegiance to Israel. And she's like, well, I'm here to serve the interests of America and Americans and my people and stuff like that. And they was like, oh, that's fine, but just pledge allegiance to Israel. And it's like they're literally saying a second oath to Israel, but that oath trumps the oath what they take when they walk in the office. And she didn't want to take that oath, so they made it very hard for her, and she eventually left. But Cynthia McKinney, she has an interesting story as well. But I could go on and on about, like, these, which I am going to. There's another person. I'm kind of going to piece all this together about. I'm going to explain some of these people's stories, like, individually, and then I'm going to piece in how, like, them forming a network control the world, in my, like, from my worldview. So you got another person, and I'm just popcorning right now about who, some of the people who are at the top who've done janky things to people, and specifically to our people too. I'll touch on that more detailed in a second. So with Bernie Madoff, are you guys familiar with, that's more in your guys' time, if anything, but are you guys familiar with Bernie Madoff? Or have you heard that name? Or yeah.
He made off with the people money. He got a good name.
Madoff, yeah, that's right, Professor Amin-Ra. He's he largest known, so just like F Jeffrey Epstein has a Guinness World Record for the, not literally a Guinness World Record, but literally is the most, the biggest known sex offender in public history. Jeffrey Epstein wins that title. Next, we have Bernie Madoff for the biggest known white collar criminal in public history. That's public. I say public because behind the scenes, there's people who don't, who are like like mega trillionaires, but they don't want to be a part of the media whatsoever. They want to, they don't want their name to be known at all. But Bernie Madoff is another one. Even he has, there's a documentary on Netflix about Bernie Madoff too. I think it's called Madoff, the Monster of On Wall Street or Of Wall Street. It's really good, about, four episodes. I binge watched all of them because it's just real interesting. And I even started showing my family the, like, the first episode or so. But he got away with a 64, $67 billion Ponzi scheme, I believe, 64 or $67 billion Ponzi scheme for like 40 years. And he, man, like they didn't, weren't even able to recover half of that to, disperse amongst the people again once he finally got taken down. But he was a well-respected Wall Street figure. He was like the president of the NASDAQ, and for 40 years, like he had, I think his company was called Bernie Madoff Securities or something like that. And he was like a, he had like a public and a private business. So on public, the public was like he was trading stocks for people, I believe. And then the private, which is where the scam was going on, is he had he had like a advisory, like a advisory for private, customers and stuff like that. And he would quote unquote invest their money for them and give them a return. And the returns he was giving to people was 100% returns. There was no losses whatsoever. It was just like a straight, like linear growth pretty much. Like just like no, and if you know the stock market, the charts always go like that. But his growths are like pretty much like just vertical, if anything, like you're just like just going, like there's no decline in gains when you invested in Bernie Madoff. So some people started to be like, all right, yeah, like some of the other people in Wall Street who were suspicious of him, they were like, there's no way, I've been trading, I've been a part of Wall Street for a long time, and there's no such thing as no losses when you invest in the market. Like there's something fishy about this guy Bernie. So they, some of the, so I forget his name specifically, but one guy reported Bernie Madoff to the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission. And when they got the complaint, they were like, nah, you're not talking about Bernie Madoff. He's a, he's a president of NASDAQ, excuse me. And there's no way, the president of NASDAQ? Nah, so they didn't even take it really serious. They kept throwing it out. And somehow the guy was persistent with his complaint, and he got a complaint in to somebody who cared, and they somewhat cared and looked into it. And they went to the Bernie Madoff's. I kind of jumped over a certain part right here, but they jumped, they went to his firm, like on like the 17th floor of, I believe, or a floor very high up there in one of those downtown New York buildings. But they asked him, they're like, were you doing anything? Were you doing what they're alleging you're doing? And he was like, no, of course not. So they went in there and asked him if he was doing anything wrong, rather than going with a search warrant and like presuming that they have, or not presuming, but based off the probable cause, they're going to do a thorough check. But they respected him so much that they didn't check him out fully. But anyways, some of what Bernie Madoff was doing is he was trading globally with some of these other central bankers who didn't, get pulled down with him. He's one person who went down with, oh, he, and also I forgot to mention a key point with him. He was somewhat like he had a lot to do with some the 2008 housing, the mortgage fraud crisis or whatever. He, $64 billion stolen definitely put a dent in that economy somewhat. So, and he was, doing false trades. So, that's a very interesting story to look into. Bernie Madoff, on Netflix, there's a documentary, like I was saying, Madoff, the Monster on Wall Street, goes into it thoroughly about what his scam was and how he affected, older people. Some older people were investing their whole lifetime savings with him because they, some of them were investing like over 20 years and getting constant returns. 'Cause he was doing this since he started his advisory business in like I believe it was the 70s, and he got taken down in 2008. But he was doing it successfully from like the 70s, I believe, to 2008, and he was getting constant returns from people. And some of these people were like, man, this guy's really good. I'll just keep investing my money with him, and I'll, you know what, I might as well. I've been safe all these years. I'll just give him everything I have. And some people did that. And when it finally came tumbling down, some people literally lost everything. That they lost their house, their car, their, everything you could think of. And, you guys are older than me, so you guys can, you guys experienced that as adults. Like, not specifically what those people went down, but you were there to witness it with a more mature understanding. Me back then, I'm born in 2001, so I was only 7 at the time. But that's he's one person. Within the Wall Street community in general, there's a lot of thieves just like him, like the Lehman Brothers, the Solomon Brothers. There's the just so many entities on Wall Street that have that are literally just stealing money from the people and who are controlling everything. Like BlackRock, if you guys are familiar with BlackRock, Larry Fink. This brings me to another person who's part of the, I would say, the cabal, or not, or public, the public cabal, because then there's a private cabal where we'll never see some of these faces, and then publicly some of the people we know who are part of the, controlling the strings in the public sector. These are people like Larry Fink, for example, who is the CEO of BlackRock, and BlackRock owns shares and ownership of every corporation in the United States that you can think of: GMC, Ford, Kroger, Disneyland, Magic Mountain, Sony, Paramount, like they the Delta. American Airlines, like every corporation you can think of is literally owned by BlackRock. There's not one corporation that you can say it's almost that isn't owned by BlackRock. And BlackRock is also doing they're grabbing control of residential and commercial real estate. I can definitely more so speak on the residential real estate, I believe. They're buying up houses in bulk higher than market value. So then the homeowner's like, dang, I can't turn this down. This is way more than what I put in. And then they're literally buying these houses, but then they're gaining a monopoly on just residences in general. So all the new homes, I even just saw an ad for this on YouTube, like maybe a couple of weeks ago, but or no, actually it was just this week, but it was like, I think it was Clayton Homes, and that's like a corporation. It's not like, not that I know of, it's like not has nothing specifically to do with BlackRock, but that's like a corporate, I guess, I can't think of the proper term, investor, just a mass real estate mogul, or what, if you will, but in the corporate world, who's, who's just selling houses mass scale. But BlackRock is doing the same thing on a more detrimental level to the citizens, because we everyone should have the right to own a house or in play in the real estate market if they wish to do that. But soon, since BlackRock will own the whole residential sector of real estate and all this, I see someone had it. Sorry,
Yeah, Professor Rob raised his hand.
sorry, brother. I didn't even see your hand.
It's okay, brother. Sante Sana, for the excellent presentation. thus far. I just want to know what are the main objectives that you want us to get from this. I mean, as you said, one thing all them people have, they're white or they're Jewish in white. White ain't no different, ain't no such thing. Judaism is a religion, but they're white people. And they've been stealing property and I mean, they wiped out millions of Indians to get this land. They enslaved us for 100 years.
Yes.
So it's because they're stealing but what do you want us to take away from this presentation?
But I would like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay. What I would like for the listener to take away from this is the names that I pointed out to see how they are in control of industries that affect our everyday lives. And being familiar with these people, because I mean it, you can we can go through life and not understand who these people are, but on a worldview perspective, you know, if most people want financial freedom, if they want spiritual, you know, if they want, you know,
Okay, do you think gang members give a damn?
no, they don't.
People that in the hip hop care, they want the money from
Well,
them.
Kanye is one person who really does care if you've seen him go off on it, but
Kanye,
Kanye.
well, Kanye is just one person, but what I'm trying to say is that a lot of the issues we face, first of all, I don't, the white folks can't be my teacher or example, and I already classified them as the most devil, as Amrullah Muhammad said. So I know they're going to do devilish things, not only to people, different ethnic groups, but they do it to each other. Ukraine and Russia, two white people fighting. The Civil
Yeah.
War was two white people fighting. World War I, it was two white people fighting. I mean, we know that these people will do anything for power. And those with money want more money. And as you say, even if it's 1%, most people don't care. All they care about is their day-to-day life. A lot of people just are comfortable in their oppression. They just say, hey, look, I just want to have Thanksgiving. Celebrate my baby's birthdays, take a cruise every now and then, and just be cool. Those are people that just want to live on the earth. We're
So,
dealing with white folks that want to control the economic, political, and educational dynamics in this country and globally. That's a fact. I mean, that's what the war in Gaza is about. That's why Biden is a bigger liar than Trump. You understand? He's a bigger liar than Trump. And so what I'm trying to get out of this is okay, Bernie Madoff, he's in prison or dead or somewhere.
No.
Epstein, he dead. You understand? And it's good research that you're doing for your personal growth and development. But from the aspect of our struggle as Black people, how do we use what you're teaching
Perfect. I love it.
to
I love
deal
that.
with our struggle for justice, humanity, and economic development personally?
So some people can, I'll lead the people to a point of reference here. There's a person of higher power back then named Myron Fagan. I believe he had something to do with the UN. I had to have to do more research on his position myself, but he's very qualified on what he speaks on, and he is he was pointing out that the fact that organizations like the NAACP were created by the ADL, and the ADL is an anti-defamation league. So,
The Spingrum Brothers.
say
They
it
were
again.
the Spingrum Brothers. They still give a Spingrum Award. They were two Jews,
Yeah.
the first presidents of the NAACP.
So, I mean, things like that are affecting us as a people, like for example, what can I think of? I'm not here to attack anyone personally, but what something that did I know adversely affect our people recently as a whole was those of our people who got the vaccine and the whole controversy around this shot and everything like that. And whether people agree with getting it or not getting it, a lot of research shows why we shouldn't trust it, such as one being the Tuskegee experiment, what they did to our ancestors back then. If they've done that to us back then, why would we trust taking a shot on a mass scale as a people?
Well, one reason, people were dying. Not scare anybody to take a shot. You know, when millions of people dying, not just here, but around the world. And, you know, what are you going to do? You know, and black people were the ones telling them, black people, to take the shot.
Yeah, sure.
Black doctors, black nurses, black
Very true.
celebrities,
Yeah, very
black
true.
ministers. So, you know, I mean, people
But the
follow.
people who are pushing those people to get us to do it are the people I'm talking about. It's like it's these people at the top. It's Jeffrey Epstein's, it's your Larry Fink's, it's your Rothschilds, it's your, in my opinion, in my what my research has shown me. So this is just, I think it's relevant to our people 1,000% because, in my opinion, the people who are oppressing us, when we put the, if we, it, okay, when, like, for example, on the news, if there's a suspect and a victim,
They're financing racism. They're financing oppression and de deceitment. That's all a part of devilment.
yeah.
It wouldn't be devilment if they were trying to do something
Yeah,
good.
true.
Yeah.
So, but
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. So, I mean, I don't know. I believe it has all the relevance to do with our people, just because of people that are who, like, okay, what I was saying about the suspect and the victim is when there's a suspect on news who's, done some, committed some sort of crime. They give the specifics of him. It was a black male, 38, 6 feet, wearing a hoodie. Like they announce everything about this person so that way people could be on the lookout for him, who's done this act and need, who needs to be swept off the streets. And they announce the victims, or the victim or the victims, and then. If let's speak for let's use us for example. If we've been our plight as a people, I'd like to use a more recent example I'm trying to think of. I don't want to use slavery because it's used very frequently, but it's kind of leading me to that, but
What about sharecropping, Jim Crow laws?
Sharecropping is an interesting one. Well, I know you guys are familiar with Dr. Tony Martin, but he goes into a whole segment of the other slave trade with the people that who are merchants of these ships, and they, sorry, excuse me, without these ships, our ancestors wouldn't have been able to be transported. So I think that's like, for me, for example, I wasn't taught that. In school, they taught us that, it was I don't know the specific ships that they would, the group of people with the ships they would say, but it obviously, like, it's white people, transporting us on ships and stuff like that but they didn't mention that a lot of the Jewish slave trade was very huge as well, and there's aspects of slavery that were cornered off by the Jews within that institution. So I'm kind of straying off my point here about the suspect, but if we wanted to get justice and reparations for for what we've been through, then we have to go to the people who've been doing that to us, which, yes, it is white people, and we got to get rid of some of our own who've been helping these people to, perpetrate these these crimes. And the people who the if we're identifying the people who've done it, I'm naming some of the names of some of the people who are the culprits of the bad apples, I guess, if that makes sense. Like I'm pointing out to some of I'm in what I believe I'm doing, I'm shedding light on some of the names that don't get attention, but people think are there are more powerful figures who are very powerful. Like some people mentioned Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple. I don't believe Tim Cook is the most powerful person. I'm sure he's in high places, but there's more powerful people who have done wrongs against our people. You know, the distribution industry and our people are the greatest creators of music. That's undeniable. But the people who own our, you know, masters and distribute our music are not us. I think that deserves a more magnifying look, a magnifying glass look. So I don't know if that answers your question at all, Professor Amaral, like how this.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Of how this can help our people. But I think, all right, if I'm like, all right, I want to get justice for what has been done wrong to me, I want to go after the specific person or people who have committed that wrong against me. And when I do that, some of the people who I've named could be like, okay, well, yeah, you're one of those people I'm looking for. Not me specifically, but just in the plight across the globe. You know, like for example, the mines in Congo with the coltan and stuff like that. Those aren't owned by us. Those are owned by Apple and every electronic out there. Every electronic out there, every electric device, I'm sorry, electronic device is powered by that, which is a mineral coming out of Africa. And we as Black people wouldn't even know where to start with, you know, wanting to, well, we wouldn't know where to start, but the starting point would be the names who are the people responsible for that and stuff like that. So that's just one example, but yeah.
Okay, let's go to Brother Joe. Brother Joe?
Yeah.
Question, comment?
What the brother's trying to present, kind of familiar with a bit of it. Most of the people that he's speaking of that low percent, we may never know what their names truly are. There's a couple of books. One is by a white guy named Jordan Maxwell.
Yeah.
Matrix of Power. And from that book, I springboarded to a couple more books, a book one and two, titled books that your church doesn't want you to read. And then there's another book called Conspirators Hierarchy, the story of the Committee of 300.
Mm-hmm.
That he's mentioned are part of this 300 in their role in, you know, controlling things. And there's one of those guys with Epstein that you didn't mention that needs mentioning is Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots.
I'm not even familiar with that name. You just taught me something just now.
Robert Kraft, he's the owner of the New England Patriots, the most winning franchise in pro football. He was caught up in that thing with Epstein.
And then, wow.
When it was discovered that Kraft was in it, all of a sudden, Epstein come up dead.
True, yeah, true.
Came up dead. And then piggybacking on when you were talking about the shot and all of that, prior to that epidemic starting, Gates was going around the world buying up every health agency he could buy, him and his wife. Mm. So he was the one that was making money off the shot.
Mm-hmm.
And off those breathing devices and all of that. But this was set in motion before the stuff even hit the fan. So like you say, you know, they throw stuff out and see what the response is going to be. And a lot of times they can predict it. And to a large degree, because they rule the mass media, they can get the public ready, you know, through a propaganda to suck up the fried ice cream with a dirty straw, so to speak. So I hear what you're saying, brother. I don't know what we can do to combat that. We always got to look within and come together. They make sure that's never going to happen.
Yep.
Because they fear, you know, what's going on with that. But anyway, I hear what you're saying.
I kind of want to touch on a point that you made.
Last point I'm going to tell you, because you're talking about slavery and all of that. What a lot of people don't know and about the Jews who owned the Dutch East and West. It was the shipping company. The shipping company. That transported the colonies. But it was going on in South America for 150 years before it ever came to the United States. It was called the Dutch East India Company, Dutch East and West Company. Anyway, go right ahead, brother.
I'm going to look into that. You said it's called the Dutch East and West Company?
Trying to think of Dutch East India Company.
Oh, East India. Wait, Dutch East and West India Company? That sound like it's that's it.
There were more, but a thing that we don't know is more Africans were taken to Brazil than ever were brought to the United States.
Yeah. I heard about that. My mom told me.
That movie that shows a little of that was the movie Sankofa.
Yeah.
Here for a minute and they snatched it off the screen. So go ahead, brother.
Mutsu Baruka was in that. I seen that movie quite a few times. You know, my parents, that's one of the movies they sold at their store too. So I grew up seeing that interesting movie. But you were talking about the, like, for example, I would say COVID is something that adversely affected the whole world, but it definitely affected our people during that period as well. And that's one recent case of how our people have been, you know, affected on a mass scale. But real quick before I proceed, there's Professor Amon-Ra, what do you believe are some of the issues that our people are facing, like right now, currently, that we need to overcome?
Well, the key crisis is the same crisis we had in the 60s. That's a culture crisis.
Can you repeat that one more time? What crisis?
A culture crisis.
Culture crisis.
Yeah, and because culture changed you. Black people were thinking they could change the system without guns and without taking out white people. But one of the ways that we change, just revolutionize your value system, your ethics, your morals. And then taught to love and ritualize your blackness and your Africanness. You know, that's one key crisis. The other is that, you know, many of our people in America, which is in a key place, have the collective possibility when they work together to create change. For their condition, for our condition. But most of the people, for whatever reason, don't seem to see themselves as Black or African. They're not taught that at home. They're not taught that in school. They're not taught that in society as a whole, you know. So that's another issue, you understand? And there are groups trying to change that with mentoring programs. You know, even the Black colleges, as you mentioned, Spelman and Morehouse, for years they wouldn't even touch political or social issues. And so, you know, We have an issue of the miseducation, and that's still going on with Carter G. Woodson. And as Joe would say, you know, our economic value system is tied to Euro America. instead of to our own personal growth and development. In other words, we spend a lot of our money on white value. We're still naming our kids after white people. You understand? This 2023, and we still do not see the value of naming your children something different from the slave master or the person that enslaved you. You know? And as long as white folks can see that, they know they got the hearts and minds of our people. Our challenge is to win the hearts and minds of our people. And that's with service. And that's with being able to provide essential things they need. And education. You know, it's called education, mobilization, organization, and confrontation. And then that transformed you. We all went through transformation. You're not the same person you were when you were 3 and 4 years old. I'm not the same person. Rasha Key's not the same person. Joe Hembree's not the same person. We grow. And as we grow, we see the world in different venues. You understand? So we have to find a common denominator. So I don't study white people. Then it never will be the center of my conversation. You know, the center of my conversation will all be what we do and what we should be doing and what we can be doing, you know. So, but that's a struggle within itself, you know. Yeah. The biggest struggle we have is the struggle with ourselves and not wanting to change, wanting to stay the same. And that's what we were fighting for. In the 60s, a culture change. And that's what the black movement was about. Well, people started wearing naturals and wearing dashikis in that brief period. Till COINTELPRO came back in, spread a bunch of money.
So I have a question. In our culture, some of the negative aspects of our culture now, how do you think that came about?
Well, there's not no negativeness in our culture. Our culture, we have the highest. We're the vanguard of morality and ethics and values based upon our prehistory, ancient history, and contemporary history. You're not going to find a more ethical and more valued people. That's why we fill churches up. That's why we fill philanthropic programs up, you know, and work with young people. I mean, we are the vanguard of morality and ethics in the world. You understand?
One of the issues. You said it was culture. What was the other word? Culture. I asked you what one of the issues were, like, or what the
a key crisis is. A culture crisis.
Culture crisis, right? So, yeah. So right. What is a crisis of our culture currently? Like,
well, first of all, identity. Second of all, history. Third of all, values and views. You see what I'm saying? From an Afrocentric, we have to draw from our, as Joe would say, the historian, we have to draw from our own history, our own culture, our own value system.
Right.
You understand? And when we act like white people, we do like white people.
Right.
You understand?
So what got us acting like, in my opinion, or I mean, I'm sorry. And so question, what are some of the things that have us acting like white people?
A lot of them. Okay, we celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
We celebrate Thanksgiving. We celebrate Halloween. That's worse, ghost and devil worshiping. We celebrate Easter, you know, a freak day. You understand? And then we turn straight around and violence. That's white people. You know, when you go to Africa, they ain't no police running up and down, beating the hell out of people, except for in South Africa, where they were paid to beat their people and to suppress them, and other corrupt African places. But in the bush and in the Aboriginal aspect of Africa, we had no none of that. People loved and worked together, and these are values that we should have retained. You understand? But we 100 years of enslavement converted many of our people into Eurocentric values and Eurocentric perspective. You understand? And we, the ones with the knowledge, have the awesome challenge to still struggle to win back the hearts and minds of our people. Because right now, white folks, more black people go to Disneyland. They go and sit up in football games, 100,000, 200,000 by season seats. But
So,
if you ask them to support a program
right.
for cultural development or Black Lives Matter movement or economic development movement, they ain't got no money. You know what
So,
I'm saying? But they got money to spend with white folks. And that's a crisis. That's a crisis. When you have your culture, you spend your money to enrich your culture, because that's your problem.
can
And that's why they can't defeat the Palestinians.
I share this right quick?
Yeah.
What some of what Professor Ra's talking about right here, under the perspective writings on the on Community Education Network. You
Okay.
go to perspective writings and you go down here. And we mentioned it. Professor Rise mentioned it. I have a poem called Why Do You Chase the Devil?
I read this one. It's a good
Oh,
one.
you read it.
I read it.
So when you're trying to take on the personality of your oppressor, I call it devil tracing. So if you can check it out. And it's speaking to what Professor Rye is talking about.
Okay.
Then there's another one on here called Costume People. Well, when you're trying to assume, the culture and the personality of your oppressor, you start wearing a costume, and it's talking about the same type of things all through it. Yep, 5 pages. So yeah, very interesting, Professor Ra, and great question, Brother Messiah.
Can I add?
The whole purpose of your culture is to ritualize yourself and your development, your customs and your values. That's what it is. Black music is not black music if it's not ritualizing black people. African music ritualizes African people. Reggae music ritualize reggae people. Haitian music, do that. Brazilian music, as Joe said, it ritualizes. Everything you do should be reflective of your identity so that the children will grow up in a cultural apparatus that keeps them from killing each other, using drugs, being more healthy and nutritious. Our parents just fed us what white folks ate. You understand? They didn't have the nutritional education that some of the young parents have, and they still don't follow it. They line up at McDonald's, they line up at Jack in the Box, they line up at Pizza House and things of this nature, not realizing that that nutrition, that salt, and that sugar is a bigger addiction and drug than cocaine, heroin, or fentanyl.
Can I tie this into my point of who's pulling the strings on all this that's affecting our community? Because these are very valid points about how Pizza Hut, all these other the businesses you named, and some of the other points you're making about economic, what did you say? Economic progression or economic? You said something economic, but like Dr. Claude Anderson. Philosophy about us, spending, amongst each other and circulating the money in our community more heavily is like all the money we spend as a people. Like, I think we're a $1 trillion, like, we have a $1 trillion spending power amongst us here in, us Africans here in America. That's the, our spending power. I could be off on the figure a little bit, but we have buying power. And all of our, I would say there's not even a quarter of that 1 trillion left in our hands, and all that, the 75% of that trillion or whatever our spending power is as a nation of black people here, that's all going to the corporations like BlackRock, like I'm saying. These are going to, because we're spending it with Disneyland, like you said, we're spending it there, we're spending it. I see on average driving around in LA, a lot of black people driving.
But brother, people don't care where the money go. They just want to know, money is just a medium of exchange. Once you give me what I want, I don't care what you do with your money. I don't care where it go. I just want what I want.
So, in my opinion, I think that's some of the downfalls of our people that has to be changed from my perspective. I think that, in my opinion, that's very nearsighted of us because we're, if you know, that we're only able to see what we can get in front of us rather than seeing what the bigger picture here from, like, for example, the Black Star Line blueprint with Marcus Garvey. One, my dad named me after Marcus Garvey. So I kind of, I definitely need to deep dive into Marcus Garvey more than I have already, and more definitely follow up what my dad has told me to do as far as researching him thoroughly. But I've studied Garvey and his whole, you know, plan about corporations and, you know, pretty much injecting himself, for lack of better terms right now, injecting himself in a major industry was not something he could do if he was like, oh, I need to get what I need right now and do this. I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice that went on the line to be able to try to, I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice that it, you know, had to have occurred in order for him to be able to try to accomplish something like that. You know, Booker T. Washington, you know, building colleges from bricks right out of slavery and casting the bucket. That's not, in my opinion, in order to accomplish things like Dr. Booker T. Washington has, you can't be worried about, you know, it has to be more of a long-term thing. You have to see the players on the board of the industry you want to be involved in, so that way we can replace, if we want to compensate Black people and help our economy within us as a people flourish, I believe we have to create the businesses that were, we have to be able to replace the businesses where our people are spending money and provide these products for our
Yeah,
people.
brother, y'all have a business. You and your wife had a business. I
No,
don't know if
my mom and dad, that's
your mom and dad had a business up there on Slauson or Vernon, one of
Vernon in Normandy.
them, Vernon in Normandy. I mean, it was a struggle getting Black people to come buy Black things. You understand? But you look down the street, they in a dollar store spending their money.
So that's
And when it comes to African white holidays, they spend their money on cards, gifts, rather than and then on Black days, very few of them come in there and say, give me a bunch of Kwanzaa cards.
So that's my point. Like with
My
Garvey, so
point.
with Garvey, yeah, right. So with Garvey, he provided all the shipping that that we would have needed to get wholesale things like household consumer goods for Black people to consume. Like that was us putting ourselves in an industry where the Black dollar would have been captured by us anyways,
Yeah,
because.
but the CIA and FBI killed this program.
But I don't believe it ends there. I believe part of the triumph is, even though we know that's the risk we run, us young people are who are we're willing to do what we got to do for our people, knowing these risks. As a matter of fact, it comes back to my point about the people in control. The I believe Israeli someone in the Israeli government says that one of the biggest threats to Israel right now is a young generation of Black Americans. So we gotta like in I need to definitely, you know, look into the, I need to like I think there's a culture right now of young people my age and maybe 10 years older than me and somewhat maybe 5 years younger than me, like that's the age group of everyone committing, I mean, creating content that is positively affecting some of the youth of today, and for to cause someone in the Israeli government, a lady, I'll get her name. These are names I should have written down in addition to some of the names I mentioned. But her saying that young Black Americans, us Black Americans, us Americans over here, how are we a threat to you guys over there? But that's because we're speaking on things that are kind of, you know, exposing their hand, and they don't like that. You know, there's a new awakening happening, and I believe us being in the age of Aquarius has something to do with that. But I believe the tides could change. What Garvey didn't all the way do successfully, I believe we can do that in the in the future moving forward with observing the model, what went wrong, observing the risk, and giving it a shot. But that's all I'll say for right now. I know, because I know we've been going for a minute. but
Well, that's definitely why it need to be studied, so you can improve upon it. And
right.
that's an excellent way of looking at it. Anything else, Brother Joe?
He was asking a while back, what can we do, or what is our main problem, reason why we cannot? Well, we got to realize that what came under attack was the black family. And like we all here have our children and guiding them and whatnot, but most of our kids today are growing up in the system and group homes, foster homes, and they just getting pimped for that check. And that's a difficult situation that we need to look to try to get ourselves out of. Another thing, when Raw was talking about our culture on the continent, you know, before we met any outsiders, we didn't have a word for jail in no African society. There was no orphanages. There were no old folks home where nobody throwing away grandma and grandpa. It was more of a community living situation. And as long as we think with the side of our brain, like this European, actually we're not even thinking on the right side of the brain, which I found out from reading these books, A Metal Netter. We're more on the materialistic side than the communal side. Because, Africans, it wasn't no money, it was barter trade between like six territories. And that's something we can do today. It doesn't take any money. We got youngsters out here that need skills. They can, some things that, you need to build a society. We need carpenters, we need electricians, we need plumbers, we need cement people, we need roofers, we need mechanics. You know what I'm saying? And these young brothers and sisters out here, if we had some elders that could take them under their wing and, kind of create an institution where these kids are learning this stuff, and then we can begin to kind of resurrect ourselves and hopefully become more, family oriented with those who have been left out there. Because the ones who are out there in the system, that's what's drawing them, the gangs, the drugs, and all that, but they don't have a strong hand in that household. Like, Brother Rob was talking about his father, and I had a strong mother. But me, him, and Rashaki, we're raising our kids. And Rashaki, you know this from working at Centennial. I remember when I was there working and I was getting my master's. And I was doing a study on the black kids there. And this was in 94. And 74% of the black kids were not with either parent at that time. You think it's gotten better? No, it hasn't. So these are some of the things we need to look at in terms of our recovery to get us on track to where we need to go. I'm out.
Beautiful. So,
Last word, anything else, Professor Ra?
no, I'm good.
All right, Brother Messiah, last words.
Nah, just
Looked like Brother Mashinda was trying to get in.
I don't see him now. I didn't see it.
Oh, it's him on there a second ago.
That was you,
Okay.
Rashid.
No, I don't have any last words though. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming, man. And you're a part of our future, our immediate future here and in education. And I wanted to say earlier that the business your family has is that's a cultural place. It's black economics, and you gotta hopefully you keep it going. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And turn it into something even more. And you have the cultural food that you guys cook. So you're providing culture for the black community. And we gotta have, at least we have those places to grow from. So it's an excellent thing that you're being, and also you're dealing with education, studying, researching. That's a good thing. You need to keep those things going. And I encourage you to keep it going and hang out with us as much as you can because, historian Joe Hembrick, Brother Mashinda, Professor Amin-Ra, and we have other scholars on here and professionals that will contribute to the educational process and eliminating the miss culture that we've been learning through the oppression. So I applaud you and thanks for coming on. Next week we have author Tez Jones coming on, and he has this book right here that I'm showing. It's called The Crackhead Poet, and the crackhead is an acronym: courageous, resilient, accepting, Christ, knowledge, helping everyone achieve destiny. So it's a nice reform story. And it's I read the whole book. It's excellent. It's a book of poems, and also she's talking about some of her life experiences, and it's a very triumphant story about her. And let me go to what her topic is. Topic is a one-woman show. It's never just about addiction. So she's going to do a presentation next week. Looking forward to that. So, Brother Messiah, make sure you hook up with me again so you can come on and we talk about some other things that that you have going.
I'll definitely try to come through with a PowerPoint too, with more visuals and
Oh, it's fine. Whatever you come with, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about it, respond to it, ask questions. And it's good that you ask questions also because we got some powerhouses here that you can tap into,
Yes,
as you
sir.
can see.
I'd like to give a personal thanks to you, Brother Mascani, and you as well, Professor Amin-Ra, and Brother Joe, I believe that was your name down there.
Joe, Brother Joe, historian Joe Henry.
Yes, I appreciate all you guys. And yeah, thank you for having me on.
Yes, glad to have you. Professor Roger, you come up with anything on Monday? I mean Tuesday?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All
Not
right, we're gonna take our pause. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a good evening.
All right.